At Southern Company, we know the right solutions start with the right questions. Like, how do we deliver clean, reliable, affordable energy for today and tomorrow? Southern Company, building the future of energy.
This week, we have another outstanding women athlete who has made her country proud. My guest, Aishwarya Pise, is an Indian circuit and off-road motorcycle racer. She holds the distinction of being the first ever Indian athlete to win a world title in motorsport on motorcycles, along with being the first Indian woman to win 6 national titles in circuit racing and rally championship combined. Truly an astounding person who proves that women can do anything. Welcome to the show, Aishwarya. It's really a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Shailaja. It's an honor to be a part of the show.
So tell us, where did your passion for motorsport come from?
I started riding motorcycles at the age of 18. Motorcycles came into my life at a point where I failed my 12th and I was figuring out what I would like to do with life, studying, working. That's when motorcycles came into my life. I started going on weekend road trips with my girlfriends. And I really liked the thrill of riding a motorcycle, going fast and the wind blowing through my hair. So I think I started riding more and more. And then I knew I had a buck for speed. Started training at a school called Apex Racing Academy. That's where I found out about racing, learned more about racing. And that's how I got into racing.
You've also mentioned in interviews how you didn't particularly take to academics and you had some pushback from your family in context to that, right? And your choice of your hobbies or your career is also very unconventional. So would you like to tell us a bit about that? Was it a struggle?
Definitely was. Coming from an Indian conservative family, everybody even today in my family does a 9-to-5 job. Where anything apart from that is unheard of. So when I wanted to pursue motorsports as a career, not only had no one in the industry of motorsport had seen a woman make a career out of racing, neither had my family seen anybody who'd made a career out of racing. So definitely I did have a lot of pushback from them, especially from my family, expecting for me to have a regular 9-to-5 job and do racing as a hobby. However, also peers in racing also suggested that I do this just as a hobby and, you know, not take it up seriously. But from listening and reading and seeing a lot of stories of successful athletes, I cannot do two things half and half. Like I will have to give my 100% in the sport. So when I started giving my 100% to the sport, it wasn't easy, but when the results started coming and when TVS Racing signed me on as one of their factory racing athletes in 2017, things really changed. It became my career. Racing was not just a hobby anymore. It became my career. So yes, I did face a lot of pushback in the beginning, but as I started doing very well, today everybody really supports me to do what I do.
So for a champion, it's always the hard work behind the scenes. Right, till the time you reach the podium, it's all fine. But the journey is the real journey one goes through. And I think it's mostly all alone.
Yes, definitely. I think the journey to the top is definitely a lot more. The higher we go, the more and more hard work it requires. And it's just reaching to the top and doing the struggle all over again. And I think it's just made me stronger and given me a skill set and a toolkit to make it easier and better every single time I need to do the process.
But do you think there are any women-specific barriers in motorsport? Tell us about them.
Motorsports has been a very male-dominated sport. Like even today, the ratio of women who participate in motorsports is a lot lower than the male participation.
Globally or only in India?
Globally. Globally, the participation of women is a lot lesser. The ratio is a lot lesser than the men. It has been picking up, but still not at a par of 1:1. It's still a lot lesser. And when I did start racing, I was the only girl racing on the grid with the men. Like, there were 42 men and I was the only girl racing because there was nothing for women. But I was never training to race with women. I wanted to be the best racer out there. So, I mean, when I want to be the best racer out there, it's the same struggle as any other athlete out there. I am fighting with the boys. The struggle to find sponsors, the struggle to be able to have the infrastructure to train in India, or the support to be able to find the right team, the right manager or the coach, or all of the best bike, the best gear. All of these are the struggle that initially any athlete goes through, and it's the same process that I went through too. And I think as a woman, yes, like it's a little difficult to be able to find sponsors and things like that until you prove yourself, and which I did face as well. But I think it was important for me to participate and bring in performance by borrowing a bike from someone, gears from someone else, and not letting the naysayers stop me, and like just be focused on my goal and get the results that's required. And as the results started showing up, things started getting more and more easier. Like, my coach once told me that I need to invest in my education first before anybody else does. So, and I feel like that really stuck to me. And the first few years, yes, it's a struggle for all athletes, including myself.
Is age also a factor in career in motorsport, or is there any ideal time to start? I think you started in 2017 or before that, if I'm not wrong.
Yes, I started at 18 because that was the age that I could begin with. But definitely starting younger would give us a higher advantage, because even today when I race with athletes, they started training and racing at the age of 3 and 4, whereas I started at 18. But at the same time, that bridge of performance has to be gapped, and it's possible by a lot more training and hard work, but would definitely be easier if I would have started a lot more earlier. However, even today, there are a lot of programs that manufacturers like TVS run, like the One Makeup, where a lot of women have started coming in. Like, we see a participation of 15 women that coming year on year from the year 2016. So, and also there is this One Makeup for men and young people who want to get into it. And I think like now there's an amateur category, like under, I think it's, the kids from the age of 7 and 8 are racing in India now, up to 13, 14, 15. Like, we're seeing more and more younger participants.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, to have that focus, I have a toddler at home. Yeah, I mean, if you're saying 3 to 5 years is when they start. So I think no wonder the parents' focus is a lot different than what it was 10, 15 years ago. I so agree with you. But tell me, I have seen very intense videos of yours where you are training, and your training seems to be very holistic in approach, right? So it's not really focused only on the physicality of sports, but also you've been talking about mental health, your diet, your regime, your sleep, and how you balance the entire thing between a weekend and your weekday regime, right? Do you want to talk about it? Because that was the most fascinating part when I was doing research on you.
Yes, I think especially athletes in India, we just focus on the skill set of the game or just the physical fitness. But to be an athlete, there's more aspects to it. In my regime, I do have mental conditioning, physical conditioning, skill training, as well as nutrition. These are a few things that that I am focusing on. And these were things that that I figured that were very important at probably somewhere midway in the career, like 2017, the same year that TVS Racing signed me on. I think that's when, you know, I started working with my coach, Mon, who is my mental psychologist, sports psychologist, where we work on a regular basis to simulate race situations, to be able to focus on multitasking, where I'm connected to something called as the Izun, where the heart rate, the breath, the skin conduction, brain waves, all of these things are captured on the laptop, and you know, we're doing tasks to be able to stay at a flow state of mind and to be able to grow these skill sets to use at a race situation. So that's one thing that I work with my sports psychologist. Then the physical conditioning is a part of it, where we work on strength and conditioning, endurance, and that's one part. And then skill training, like especially in India, I get to train 4 days a week, whereas when I'm in Europe, I train 5 to 6 days a week, where I train in the afternoon to go ride, and in the morning I'm training on my physical fitness. Nutrition plays a very important role as well, because it's very important to fuel. A lot of athletes, including myself, have been under fueling a lot because of the amount of calories and our metabolic rate being very, very high. And in the recent times, I'm using something called as the Ultra Human Cyborg, which is monitoring everything that I eat. And it's technically giving real-time data of how the food is affecting my body, when my energy levels are low, am I fueling right, and all of these things. So these are a few things that I really focus on and to bring my performance to the elite level.
But is there any aha moments on your journey in terms of holistic training? Were there any self-discoveries besides what your coaches and your trainers have told you? Was there any something which came from really inside, right? As an intuitive process that, okay, you should do this or you should add this to the mix of training which you're going through?
Today, my career, wherever it is, I think is because very early in life, I believed that this is what I wanted to do. I believed in a goal, believed in law of attraction. And since I started working at 17, I never took a penny from home. So I'm a very self-made person to where I have gotten today. And I didn't really think when I failed my 12 that I would really be here, like being a world champion at 22. And to be aiming to go to Dhaka is definitely not something that I really thought I could. But very early in life, this thing of the law of attraction really taught me that if I have a goal and if I am and not let the naysayers stop me, and you know, if I put in the hard work, no matter what that goal is, I can achieve it. And that's something that came from within, from all the experiences that I had.
So this was the driving force which you were aware of as a kid, maybe, or as a teenage?
Yeah, I mean, this, I think, came into me only after I had the biggest failure of my life, at least the first biggest failure of my life. That was failing my 12th.
Yeah, I mean, that's an adversity which, kind of release that entire energy for you to realize that it's all within. I saw one of your TEDx speech where you spoke a lot about self-confidence, passion, determination, and it was coming straight from the heart. You know, and for such a young person as you to talk about self-confidence with so much of confidence, it's really, you know, it just kind of makes me believe that you have kind of decoded or understood what really self-confidence really means. It's not really English words. But okay, on a completely unrelated note, Aishwarya, tell us about your dog.
Their names are Laya and Teddy. Both are female rescues. They came into my life I found them on one was tied to a pole and the other one I found her on the chute. And they're full of love. And they're my partners in crime to go hiking, to go cycling. They're just wonderful.
And they go with you everywhere, right? I've seen a lot of your reels on Insta where they are almost in every frame, every still of yours.
Yeah, they're always around me if I'm home. So yes, they're a very important part of my life to keep me calm and for me to be stressed.
Lovely, yeah. Aishwarya, tell me, I think just about a year ago in round two of Paja's World Cup, you suffered a crash and wrist injuries, right? And also in 2018, you ruptured your pancreas. I mean, ouch, that sounds like really, really painful. And I've had like a wrist injury, which took 6 months to recover from. But what was the recovery process for you like? And how did you get back in form?
Well, injuries are a part and parcel of being an athlete. And being a racer, being an athlete has given me a way of life. When I say that, what I mean is that every time I've crashed, my only focus has been towards the recovery, has been towards what baby steps I could take each single day. It wasn't easy either. The first accident that I had was the clavicle, where I broke my collarbone just 1 week before the championship of the national road racing, where I was already leading for 3 races into the season, and I had that accident. And the fourth race was like the defining race where I would seal the championship. And I went and had an accident, and that I wasn't sure, you know, how long. The doctor was saying it would take 3 months, but we consulted a few other people and they suggested that it would be all right to go race. And when I started my physio 2 days later after the surgery and I was back racing the weekend and I sealed the championship, I think that really showed me what more I could do. And that just didn't come from me alone. It came with the teamwork, like my coach and the ecosystem that I had around me, who really focused on every step that was very essential to be back on the bike. That was just the clavicle. But in 2018, rupturing my pancreas was definitely a life-threatening accident that I had, I was in the ICU for 10 days. I wasn't sure. I couldn't eat any food for a long time orally, so they were feeding me through the intravenous. But all of these experiences have only made me stronger, have only shown me how quickly I could bounce back from each one of these accidents.
Was there any fear of getting back on the bike? I understand the support system you had around you, right? And the period which you spent in the hospital. I mean, what I'm listening to are stories where probably, you know, for people, life comes to a standstill. And I see you even stronger when you come out of it. Did you go through any fear to conquering those fear journey? Was there any inner journey going on at that time?
Definitely. I think it wasn't easy for me, though. Yes, life did come to a standstill every single time I had these accidents, at least the 2018 accident and the wrist fracture that I had last year. These two things really put me at a pause for at least the minimum of 2 to 3 months. Yes, fear. I may be an athlete, and like I said, being an athlete is a way of life. And I think fear is very common as a human being. I dealt with it as well. Even slightest of being sitting in the car as a co-pilot would freak me out after coming back from my wrist accident. But I think it was very important for me to talk about this to my sports psychologist and work on it with him to be able to overcome my fears, to be able to conquer the goals that I had set for myself each single day, even moving the wrist. Like last year at Jordan at the World Cup, I had an accident where I broke both my wrists. So, and coming back from that, I've never like been so, I'm a very independent person. Having to depend on someone for pretty much everything was not easy for me. And even after when I had to slowly start getting into doing physio for the wrist, it's definitely very painful. But it's about reminding myself what the goal is, reminding myself what this process is all about, reminding myself that it's baby steps and consistency. It's about putting in that 1% every day and conquering those fears, conquering all the hurdles that come along the way are a part of the process that I face as anybody else does.
So speaking of recovery, you strongly support HyperICE, even posting about using the HyperVolt 2 to recover from training. Tell us more about that.
HyperVolt came into my life in the year 2019 when I started using it as my recovery partner in terms of like using it for my warm-up before races and recovery right after races. And I could really see better performance, especially with how my body would behave in these situations. And this was before I had the wrist accident. And 2021, when I did have the wrist accident, I think it really helped with the recovery a lot, because I think with all the muscles being sore and tight, I think it was so important for me to release them. And even my coach insisted that I use it, and I could really see the difference in terms of how I would recover, or like, you know, how it really played like a very important role in my recovery of the injury, not just recovering from the sport or a training session, but also with the recovery of my injuries. So definitely the hypervolt just played a very essential part in my motorsport career.
So would you recommend Hyperice for non-athletes too? Because I've been hearing a lot of information about Hyperice that it's not only for athletes or sports teams, though the information is only amongst that fraternity, but it's also valid for anybody, right? I mean, whoever wants to use it.
Yes, definitely. Like Hyperice is, you definitely see a lot of athletes use it because it is really helping them stay at the top of their game. But not only does this help athletes, but also a lot of regular people who have desk jobs, who have a lot of sore muscles. It really is a holistic approach to using this product to be able to to take care of our muscles and soreness of the body. Like, to give a personal anecdote is that my family uses it as well. My mother has a desk job, but she's pretty much in front of the computer. And after a long day of work, she uses the Hypervolt that I have to help with feeling better with her muscles and back and, you know, hands and everything. And so does my dad use it. He runs around for work and, you know, it really helps him as well. And from my personal experience of my own family using it, I could really see how it really helps them. And I think that's what I'd like to also say to the listeners is that experiencing the product will really show how one could take care of their body. And how it will really help them feel better.
Game changer. Absolutely. I've been hearing a lot of news about this off late from a lot of athletes and non-athletes. So there is this stereotype that motorsport is a man's world, isn't it? And it's not a sphere of interest or aptitude for women. And what is your take on it, Aishwarya?
Well, motorsports has been male dominated for a very long time because you see a lot more male participation than female participation. But I believe that motorsports is a game of skill sets. It's about being the best racer out there. And even for me, it's not about being the best woman out there, but as opposed to being the best racer out there. And that's what I'm working towards year on year and with my participation as well. So yes, I mean, I think it's about who could put in the hard work, who could be the best racer and with the best skill set. And I think that's what matters the most.
But it does take a certain kind of audacity, doesn't it, to do what you did? And how did you build that confidence to take that plunge and forge your own path? And I can imagine there weren't many footsteps for you to follow either.
Yeah, definitely. It's not easy to be the first one to find a way to do things. I mean, there's no set way in motorsports that I could follow. There is still none. It's about getting out there, finding ways, finding different things that could work for me. I think it was more about the goal that I set for myself. And I knew that that's what I wanted to achieve. And I didn't let no matter what people's opinions were or what anybody had to say about it affect it. And I think year on year, the goals or the milestones that I set for myself are definitely, things that a lot of people haven't been able to achieve. And I hope to pave paths for more youngsters and women to, set a way to follow.
Who inspires you, Aishwarya? I mean, you've done so much you've achieved. Any mentors or inspirational figures in your life, maybe from inside or outside motorsports?
I look up to Laia Sanz. She is one of the women who raced at a race called Dakar. Dakar is the Olympic of motorsports. It's a 15-day race that happens every January. And she finishes top 15 out of close to 200 boys and girls. You know, like, the women participation is definitely lower, but like, out of 200 participants, she finishes top 15. So Laia Sanz, then there's Toby Price, then there are a few other athletes that I follow from different genres. That's Hayley Deegan, Lindsay Vonn. These are a few people I really look up to.
What does it take to succeed in motorsport and keep at it? Because obviously success is very infectious, isn't it? And you want to be in that spot again, on that podium again and again. So Aishwarya, essentially what I'm asking you is that have you gone through a performance anxiety because you've succeeded so many times in life, right? You've been on the podium and you've achieved all the accolades. But does it put you under performance anxiety?
Performance anxiety or being on the top, I definitely did face these challenges at the early stages of my career. But I think over the years, I've realized that success is a byproduct of doing all the steps right in terms of in a race, in the training. All of this put together is when I get to win a race. But also, I have failed a lot more than I have won. So the goal is to be able to get that each corner right, each straight right, to be able to do every stage right. So, and the end product of that is winning. So, I mean, that's how I focus in terms of succeeding, as opposed to thinking about, I won the last race, what if I don't win the next race? So I think it's more about focusing on the goal in hand and the process that needs to be done to achieve it.
That completely makes you truly unstoppable, the way you've articulated it. And you have won 9 championships, right? Both nationally and internationally. 5 national rally championships in a row. And in a sport with very few men, let alone women. So participating from India, what was that victory feeling? You know, what was the taste of victory when you got the first medal for India? What was that feeling like, Aishwarya?
It was a feeling of putting the flag of India on the map of motorsports. It was something that I aspired for. It's something that I put the work into, and it was the best feeling that I ever had. It was about putting in a plan, doing all the races, putting in all the hard work, and the end product was winning the World Cup. And it was an amazing feeling.
But what are the challenges that women face in the field of motorsport? You've mentioned a bit earlier in the show about a few, but are there any personal challenges which one would go through? Because you've been repeatedly talking about that's completely male dominated, right? Whether it is global or India.
Challenges that women face in motorsports is definitely, one is the acceptance of the family for them to get into this sport, especially us coming from the Indian conservative families where, you know, they're very protective of their girl children especially. And I think that's one hurdle. And then I think second would be finding the right place to train, finding the right coach, finding sponsors, finding the right bike, finding the right gear. These are the few challenges that I think every athlete faces in motorsports, and especially women.
Okay. Specifically in context to your life, Aishwarya, you are a role model for all the youngsters out there. Any message you want to give to the parents through the show who are listening to us right now?
Don't let the naysayers stop you. And if you have a goal in mind, put a plan in place, start actioning it out, put in the hard work and just keep going and you'll achieve your goal.
Wonderful, yeah. And, you know, so with the history-making women like P.T. Usha, Sania Mirza, do you think India has come a long way in representation of women in sports?
Yes, definitely. It has come a long way. And all these successful, inspiring women have just shown us what women can achieve and how unstoppable they are, and what more each one of us could do.
But what do you think still needs to be done in that sphere, Aishwarya? While we know we have taken long strides, but there's still a gap, especially when it comes to our nation within sports.
I think the grassroots level of educating more and more people about the sport or the kind of sports that are available for people to take up, and definitely more and more participation of women and acceptance of the families to let them go forward and participate in sports. These few things will definitely help with more and more people or women to come into the sport.
But according to you, what makes a person unstoppable in their life? Because the journey is lonely, right? I mean, especially what you've told us, you walked 100 miles to reach that fifth mile where you got all the accolades, but those 100 miles are your personal journey. But what makes a person unstoppable in their life, according to you?
I think facing every challenge is a small bump in the road and not letting any one of these obstacles deter your determination and your focus and keep moving towards your goal is what makes us unstoppable.
But that also requires a lot of passion, determination, drive, right? What if you kind of lose that drive somewhere? You kind of get mixed up with your passion because as a woman who's playing multiple roles after getting married, you have kids, you have various other responsibilities. What if it just kind of detours, you take a detour and you kind of stop, you know, instilling enthusiasm into your passions?
I believe that all these obstacles are definitely difficult on everybody and every athlete goes through it. But I think what sets the unstoppable athletes apart from the rest is that everybody faces challenges. So do I, so do every athlete. But not letting any of these obstacles come in our way and not forgetting the bigger picture and focusing on what that is and maneuvering through all these challenges as just a small bump in the road. And I think that's what makes the unstoppable athletes set apart.
Thanks for sharing your insights on that, Aishwarya. Any advice for our young athletes, especially women who are listening to the show right now?
Being number one isn't easy. It requires a lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifices, a lot of focus, determination. And I think to all the listeners, that's what I'd like to say as well, that if you have a goal in mind, put in the hard work, invest in yourself. Don't let the naysayers stop you and you'll achieve your goal.
Tell us about the next race you have coming up. What are you training for right now?
I'm training for the European Championship as well as the National Championship that's coming up this year. That's what I'm prepping for.
And what is the next for you in your career or in your life? Anything special, anything as a goal you have in your personal life also, which is coming up?
On a larger scale of things, in terms of my career, I'm really looking forward to being at Dakar in a few years. That's what I'm working towards. And the short-term goals are definitely the European Championship, Dakar qualifiers. These are the short-term goals and Dakar is my long-term goal.
We wish you all the best for all your endeavors, Aishwarya. You will excel. We thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. And thank you again for being on the show. But before we let you go, I would want to ask you 5 quick questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
How has racing impacted your life?
It has changed the way I look at life and challenges. And being an athlete is a way of life. And that's what it has brought into my life.
Are you an extrovert or a private person?
I believe I'm an ambivert.
Okay. If not an athlete, is there anything else you might have been?
I think I wanted to be a fighter plane pilot. And at the time that I wanted to be that, we really didn't have the provision of women to do that. So I instead decided to fly motorbikes. So, yeah.
Okay. Quote an instance where you broke a bias or were inspired by someone who did it.
2017, I went on to winning both road racing and rally championship, where when I wanted to do it at the beginning, people said it's not possible, nobody has done it and all of that. And I think when I did break that bias that, you know, an athlete could do both, and especially a woman went ahead and did that, I think that moment was definitely something that I am inspired by in terms of what more I could do. It's not impossible to do both. If I put in the hard work, anything's achievable.
What does spirit of unstoppable mean to you in a word or a line?
The spirit of unstoppable is not giving up, no matter what the situation, and making sure you rise back from every challenge stronger and keep going at your goal.
Thank you, Aishwarya. Thank you for coming on the show and we wish you all the very best. Thank you for listening to the Riveting Conversation. As always, remember to subscribe and follow us on your favorite podcast app. If you like the show, remember to rate us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. It helps us to improve.